everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 56 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. We're back after a couple weeks break. This is your host, Mark, in the studio hanging.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
Whoa, y'all got y'all's names right this time.
I know. Sometimes, you know, it's Monkey T. Frank or Frank Monkey Biscuit.
Yeah, something, yeah. Whatever you come up with. But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Mike Scott got knocked down. We have like little action figure hosts on our table here. Ted Williams, Mike Scott, and John Locke from Lost. I don't know why they're there. They just are. So, it's a brand new episode after a couple weeks break. What you guys been up to?
I've just been making sure my pants fit right in the mornings. I put one leg on at a time.
It is important to wear pants.
Yes.
Like you, well, technically today's yours. Yesterday was my last day of vacation, so yeah, that's what I was doing.
And I've been pretty blazing through Arrow.
Went to Austin, hung out with the family at the beginning of it, then pretty much sponged around the house.
SpongeBob.
Yeah,
I shot my bow a little bit. That was fun. Then I got a sunburn doing it.
So I watched. We took the kids here in Texas to Glen Rose, Texas, which is up near Dallas. We took them to Dinosaur Valley State Park, and they have a Dinosaur World amusement park type thing next to it. And that was a lot of fun. We got back yesterday, so we had a good time on our vacation. Other than that, didn't do a whole lot this week, just kind of a staycation except for a couple days, and that's okay. I started watching Stranger Things, which has been a phenomenon on the internet, as people know right now. I'm not as high on it as everyone else.
I loved it.
I think it's okay. I think it's a little bit over nostalgia. It tries too hard to be the 80s and borrow from everything.
80s is the 80s.
I know, but it's like, I guess, well, you know me, I'm not a big 80s guy anyway. There's certain films I like from the era, but I think the 80s in general, the hairdos and the outfits are pretty lame, and I think can stay in the 80s.
That's just what it was.
And so I'm not, I guess.
At least it wasn't the 70s.
I think the show's okay. I have like two or three episodes left, so we'll see where it goes. I don't know. It's interesting, but I think there's much better things I'd rather watch on television than it
so
far.
Not right now.
Well, there's one thing the 80s did teach us, Mark, and that's that. You can dance. You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
A Bowie reference?
Don't dance, and if they don't dance, they're not.
Are you 100% sure that song was written in the 80s?
Probably not.
Yeah, because
I'm could
pretty
have been
sure
on
that was a disco era Bowie song.
It could
no,
be.
No, not. I think it was like the 80s, maybe.
You need to look it up now. Google it. See if
Google
who's
it.
Right here.
All
okay.
Right.
So, other than that, we did do something, the three of us, while me and Frank were on vacation, we went and saw the theatrical screening of Batman the Killing Joke. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Oh, I did see a movie. I saw Star Trek Beyond.
Me too.
On vacation. And that was excellent. As far as the reboot Trek goes, I think it was better than Into Darkness, but not better than Abrams' first Trek. I think Abrams' first Trek is still the best of the new bunch.
1983.
Within the 80s.
So it was
80s.
Safety
dance.
Okay.
Safety dance.
Yes.
So you're right then. Okay. I bow to the...
I let the lady pick what showing we're going to, so she picked the XD 3D.
See, I don't see the point in spending $500 or $600 to watch a film. I think if a film can't hold merit on its own without 3D and effects, then you know that's just me personally.
It was
plus
just nice seeing it on the XD.
Plus, 3D gives me a headache anyway.
She's never been in the XD.
But Star Trek Beyond was really good. They scale it back some. It's maybe not quite as big as Into Darkness and the Abrams Trek one. But it's still really good. A couple of interesting new characters. Idris Elba did a good job as the bad guy, I thought. And I enjoyed the heck out of it, really. You know, I walked out there with a good feeling from it. A nice couple of tributes to Leonard Nimoy in the film, which were very tastefully well done and written into the script where they didn't feel cheesy. They didn't feel forced, you know, the way... Like, sometimes you're afraid they do a tribute.
No.
Like, I felt in times... Maybe this is not the best example of a tribute, but when they forced the Paul Walker tribute at the end of Fast and Furious 6, it felt a little forced. I didn't feel that with the Leonard Nimoy tribute. It felt like it fit into the script. It was a
purpose.
They had to force it in there because, I mean, they had to make his brother.
I know. I understand all that. But it's still, it's sometimes there's ways to do things that Furious Six should have been scrapped. Let's just be honest. The movie wasn't that good. But that's a whole different franchise than Star Trek.
It is.
It doesn't have the 50 years of history or any of the things that Star Trek has. And I'm looking forward to seeing, speaking of, and the franchises are kind of tied together because Justin Lin directed some of the better Fast and Furious films, and he came on to direct Beyond, and people were worried that he was going to, like, maybe hyper-kinetic it, you know, if that's even a word, and make it kind of crazy. But he really did a good job with the film. I think Justin Lin showed that he can handle a big budget and do a good sci-fi film. And I think he understood Star Trek more than people thought. And he did a really good job with it. And I do have a question.
Do y'all think it's a good decision for them not to recast the Chekhov character? I think it is.
Well, I don't know. I think they may change their mind on that. It's funny because Chekhov had a bigger part in this film than normally. And we're talking about Anton Elkin, who passed away in June.
Sadly.
And, you know, I think that I don't have a problem if they recast it. And the reason why is because many times this has happened in films and the characters move on. And I think Abrams has made this decision right now. They're not going to recast him. I think down maybe in the fourth film we don't have Chekhov in it, but I could see him maybe later on coming back, depending on how they write him out of the script. I think he's too important of a character to the Star Trek mythos. It's no different if Daniel Craig was to pass away while filming James Bond. You're not going to stop making James Bond films. You're going to
no, because there's always another James Bond.
And I think Star Trek and the crew of Trek is still that important. I think that they work together as a crew, and I think there can always be another Chekhov, whether it's recast or not. If they choose to not recast him and they let Chekhov go on to space, then that's how they do it.
Well, see, and then what I was thinking about that decision was that, like you said, he plays a much bigger role in this movie compared to maybe like he did in the our original realm of Star Trek, of his character did. And this one, you know, because these are two different universes of the same characters, so different events happen to them.
Right.
And so this is an event that happened to these particular crew of the Starship Enterprise, and that didn't happen to the other one that some of us grew up on. So all the stuff that Chekhov did in this one, and in our world right now, would get him accolades, you know, and promotions and stuff for the what he did.
What's an accolade?
Or whatever. I don't accolades? Know. I made up a word. Dylan, yes. But what I'm saying is he would get promoted. He would probably got moved on to something else and taken off of the Enterprise, because if he got promoted from what he is, he's not going to be just another pilot character. He actually stepped it up and tried to save his crew, standing there side by side with Kirk, fighting the bad guys, spoiler alerts, running all over the destroyed Enterprise.
Well,
and
I think you're getting a little deeper into the Star Trek mythos of what can happen.
That's how you can explain why his character is no longer on the Enterprise.
Well, no, I'm not.
He got promoted.
Yeah, well, and I understand.
And
I'm sure there's ways they can write him out the character, but I just think that I think him as an actor would want the character to live on, and I think that I don't have a problem. I personally think they should recast him. It's sad it happened, but it is the way things happen in life, and I think he should be recast. I think he's an important enough character for the Star Trek mythos to move on with him in it. And if they don't recast him, we move on without Chekhov. You know, either way, you know.
Well, might just Chekhov.
But overall, I thought Star Trek Beyond was an excellent film. It was kind of refreshing. It was, like I said, scaled back a little bit. It wasn't quite as in-your-face, everything having to blow up. You know, it was kind of fun, Star Trek, in a way. Kind of like the old-school stuff, kind of just relaxing, kind of an adventure story. And I thought it was really good. And other than Suicide Squad, that's about it for the summer. And that comes out, you know, next week, of course. And so, Matt.
Yep.
You're still not behind watching Star Trek because I've been
watching Arrow. I could have watched it. I could have at least caught up to this point. And I usually use Raynerland.com, and I checked Star Trek Beyond is not on Raynerland.com. Not yet.
You're pirating stuff?
Hell yeah. I learned from the best.
Bunch of blood pirates over here. That's what I'm thinking.
Arr.
So that's really it as far as vacation and what's going on. So let's get into Batman the Killing Joke. And we're going to talk about DC animated films in general and some of our favorites that we've watched over the years. Because DC has done a really good job with their animated stuff.
Definitely,
Marvel,
yes.
Marvel did some cool stuff a while back. They had the Hulk versus, and they did a couple of those films that were okay. And they've done okay with their animated stuff that they have on Disney XD. But they have not
stepped it
Marvel
up.
Might be ruling it in the box office for now. But and as far as their animation stuff, DC is kicking ass with the stuff they put out. Mm-hmm. Going back to Superman Doomsday, which was the first DC animated film. And since then, they have done some really, really cool animated stuff, from original stories to adaptions of stories. They've all been a lot of fun. Obviously, there's a lot of Batman stuff because he's their big character, and they want to sell their big character. So there have been a lot of Batman films made. And last week in theaters, they had special screenings of their newest animated film, which is an adaption of the popular graphic novel by Alan Moore and Brian Bolland, which is Batman the Killing Joke. And a lot's been made about this film. It comes out on Blu-ray and DVD this Tuesday, which is this episode will be out by the time it's out. And it's already available digitally. And it's been something fans have been asking for many years for an adaption of it. And we finally got it. And we got Kevin Conroy returning as Batman, Mark Hamill as the Joker. And Matt, for someone, just your first impression for someone who hasn't read the graphic novel, what did you think about Batman the Killing Joke?
I really liked it. I liked how I felt like it was short. Like I should have gotten more out of it. But I realized that the book wasn't that long. It's not like we were talking about a series of chapters. We're talking about a graphic novel. Pretty much. And I really liked what they did with Barbara Gordon and her relationship with Batman. That they brought back the original voice actors from the 90s. I think that was awesome.
Well, you haven't read the book, so, first 30 minutes...
I have recently.
So you did read it since last time we talked?
Yeah, and I do know that the first scene
is... It starts where Bullock finds the bodies, yeah. So, and that was, for me, the weirdest part was the first 30 minutes. It didn't seem to fit as well with the original story, but it worked. People on the internet are all over it about the Barbara and Batman sex scene, and which was a mild thing.
What, they kissed?
Well, it's implied, and she right. Because she says it on the phone, and she says it's just sex. Mm-hmm. So, I think that in the mythos of Batman, the whole idea is that the Batman family is that Batman's the father, and that he would never do this with his constituents, so mm-hmm. to speak. And so I get that aspect of it, but we also have to take in, I think that this is meant to be in her early days of Batgirl. She's mm-hmm. still finding herself. Maybe she doesn't have that relationship with him yet. So she tried something like, hey, let's get it on, see how it goes. It doesn't go well. And maybe from there she would develop that relationship with him. But I also look at this as a story that is one point in the Batman time. It's never been taken as continuity. Even Alan Moore has said over the years it wasn't supposed to be in continuity. But it's kind of become continuity over the years because it's the most definitive Joker origin that we've really ever had written. Mm-hmm. And it's a dark psychological book and the movie. And you're right about the movie as far as... And it's the same with the book. Just when you feel like it's getting going, it kind of stops. And I think that's the point in the Killing Joke, is that it's supposed to be that these two guys are always going to battle forever and ever. You could continue writing stories about them, but how is it ever going to end? And it's people believe at the end of this that in the book, you see the laughter trail off at the end, and people think that Batman kills the Joker at the end. In the film version, that was the weirdest part for me, was the way it ended. It was just like the laughing, and you kind of hear the Joker stop laughing. You hear Batman laughing. And you know what I really thought about? I need to watch it again. We only saw it last week in theaters. I'm going to buy it Tuesday and watch it again. I almost felt like the fade-out should have been longer.
Like during, like when the DC logo popped up?
Yeah, a little bit longer fade off, right? Because mm-hmm. it just felt like it faded, the camera pans down and goes to the water puddles underneath them and just sort of stops and goes to the logo. And it almost felt like they didn't let the scene breathe a little bit. And that's my biggest part, was the end of the film. And I do want to apologize about spoilers, but I think Killing Joke's fair game for spoilers. The book's been out since 88. If you haven't read it, even if you haven't seen the movie, let me tell you, the movie is just like the book, almost panel for panel. So you're not missing anything by hearing us say any of this stuff.
And you can probably find it at your local library as well.
I got it for $10 on eBay. hardback.
Yeah, it's not hard to find. The original first prints are worth a lot of money, yeah. But it's been reprinted so much, it's not hard to find.
There's one on sale signed by Conroy.
You know what I find funny is that I saw it advertised, the box set doesn't come with the Killing Joke book.
Hmm. Oh, the one that Best Buy has? Yeah, it's weird. It comes with A Man Who Laughs. I don't know. Man Who Laughs is great, too. I wish they would adapt that into a movie. That's actually my personal favorite Joker story. I love The Man Who Laughs.
Maybe they wanted to give me two Joker stories.
But anyway, so... And that was my biggest thing was the end. I had no problem with the ending because it's the way the book is. I knew that's how the film was going to end. But it just felt like the scene was just like, oh, that's it? You know? And then they had the stinger at the end of Barbara Gordon, which wasn't necessary. But I guess they were trying to let you know she's okay and she becomes Oracle.
Yeah.
And, Frank, your thoughts on the adaptation?
No, I liked it. You know, it was fun. You know, if, you missed out going to see it. You missed out quite a lot. I liked the... The stuff with Mark Hamill at the beginning, and then some of the stuff after the credits.
Well, yeah, explain to people.
And it won't even be on the Blu-ray.
Well, explain to people at the theatrical screenings, they had a special thing at the beginning before the film started. It was a little featurette with Mark Hamill talking about how he was never going to do the Joker again unless it was a Killing Joke, and he returned to do the Killing Joke. And then after the credits, they had a little featurette about the music for the film and how they took the in the book... They never really say that it's a song by the Joker, but they chose to turn it into a musical piece for the movie,
right?
And how they put that together. So that's what Frank's talking about.
But not just the fact that he came back to play the Joker, the fact that he never wanted to play the Joker. The first time he ever wanted to do an actual character, he was like any character but the Joker. You know, he didn't want to do that character, but... You know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I mean, heck, he didn't really even, go for Luke Skywalker.
Right. And what's funny is a lot of people, since the Killing Joke was made, Mark Hamill has said that that was going to be it for sure. Unless there's, he said he never ruled out doing another Arkham game. He said maybe another Arkham game, but now, since those featurettes were probably filmed, because I think it set a date of June 2015 while he was in London filming Star Wars. They probably filmed those featurettes. It has been announced that him and Conroy are doing the voices of the Joker and Batman on the new Justice League action cartoon. And I imagine Hamill decided to do it because I'm sure the Joker's not in every episode. So he can just come in, do a few episodes.
How he probably do his dialogue at home or somewhere.
They have announced that. I don't know if it was announced pre-Comic-Con or before not, but... it was announced that Joker or Mark Hamill will do the Joker and Kevin Conroy Batman for Justice League Action. And let's talk about those guys. I mean, they're iconic as far as their voices. I didn't feel Conroy did anything different with Batman he hasn't done before, but I really felt Hamill brought it for this. I mean, he was on point.
Especially with the singing.
He was excellent, you know, as the Joker in this film.
And he hit those notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While doing the voice. I mean, that's hard.
Tara Strong did a great job coming back as Barbara Gordon. She did fine in her job. Overall, I thought the voice cast did great. I thought the animation... I saw what people were talking about. People that had seen the film before the theatrical screens I was reading, they were talking about how the animation looked spotty in parts. Mm-hmm. I did notice that on the big screen, did y'all? There were some scenes where, the animation looked blurred when it was projected. Even though they remastered it for 4K for the theatrical... Prince, it did look. I noticed the animation had a couple points.
Well, I'm not gonna worry about that on the big screen. It's more of when you actually watch it on your TV. If it has that same issue, is where you're going to be like.
And okay, the coolest part of it was to see on the big screen. I wish that they would do more events like that for those DC animated films.
That should be there with other fans of it.
It was really cool to see it like that, and see the Killing Joke on the big screen. And And you know what? I just mentioned Comic-Con, and I forgot we were going to cover some Comic-Con news here towards the end of the show today, too. A lot of trailers to talk about, but we'll get to that in a minute. So, as far as the DC Batman the DC animated films, I think the Killing Joke, I wouldn't put in my top five. I was making a top five. I think it's top 10. I think it is an excellent adaptation. I did think the prologue was a little... unnecessary for the film, but it worked. Otherwise, the film would have been too short. One thing I really like is when I've read the Killing Joke, I always felt the Joker scenes, the flashback scenes where he's with his wife, always had a film noir style to them, and they pulled that off in the film. Yeah. They did exactly how I was hoping they would do it, kind of film noir, you know, with the music and everything to it, and given his origins. So, DC's done, I think this is our 25th, 26th film they've done. Done a lot. And we've got a lot of adaptions, and we all have some favorites. And we were going to make a top five list, but we have to call Frank out. He didn't make a top five list because he's a bum.
Yeah.
Basically. He's on vacation all week.
Yeah.
Told him 2 weeks ago to get your list ready.
What part of I sponged?
And then
sponged.
You know, and he doesn't get it done. So
y'all send out the text, and then y'all send out like 50 other texts that gets
no
lost.
That's no excuse. Dead.
I mean, like literally, my text would be like, "We're gonna make a top five, okay?
We can say our top five because I know Mark had some ammunition for me, and then I know Frank knows.
Well, my top five is always better than your top five.
I know.
So it's okay.
I know it's better than
even
top
if
five.
It is the exact same top five. Mark's still gonna be better.
I made mine first.
Well, me and Matt made top fives.
Yeah.
At my five, I'll go first. I have Justice League Flashpoint Paradox. It's my number five. I thought it was an excellent adaption. It was a good kickoff into the new 52. And then I won't even get into War because I think they dropped the bomb with War after an excellent Flashpoint to kick off the new 52. I thought War was kind of weak. But I like the character of the Flash a lot. And DC kept teasing they were going to do a Flash animated film. They never did. The TV show came along. It's really popular. We're getting a Flash movie finally. And Flashpoint Paradox was the closest we've gotten to a Flash animated film so far, since it is ultimately about him and the decision he makes to cause the Flashpoint. And I really like the darker characters in it, the dark Batman and all that from the other world.
Mm-hmm. Well, his father's playing the part.
Yeah, Thomas Wayne. I enjoyed the heck out of Flashpoint. So that was my number five DC animated film. And just out of curiosity, if I was to have Killing Joke on the list, I would probably have it at about 8. Because I think at 6 on my list, I would have Batman Year One. And at 7, I would probably have... The names escape me right now. I can't remember which
Superman
I want to have.
Superman versus the Elite?
No, I have that on my top five.
All-Star.
No, I'm not a big fan of All-Star Superman. I don't know, it's okay.
It's okay.
I wasn't a big fan of the comic either, you know?
It's kind of a love story between him and Lois.
Yeah,
and
it's okay.
Countdown to Days.
But anyway, what is your number five?
I have Batman Bad Blood. I like the introduction of Batwoman. I got the fight that I've always wanted to see. Nightwing versus, you know, Master versus Student. That's always an interesting battle.
That was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, and I was like, who the hell is this souped up, steroid jacked up Batman? And you know, that was cool, you know, learn that it was Damian basically injected with growth hormones, you know, as a clone. But I really enjoyed the movie because of there was a you know, fairly consistent action. Well, and good storylines.
And not to cut you off, but that's my biggest problem with the recent animated films post New 52. Is that they become a little cookie cutter like that. Like you said right there. Have a little bit of story. Let's get to the action quick. A little bit more story. Get to more action. They seem like they're not taking their time to... They just seem like they've become very standard lately. Mm-hmm. And that's my biggest problem with the recent... I'd like them. Don't get me wrong. When I say that, it doesn't mean I don't like them. Because I really enjoyed Batman vs. Robin. I would probably have that in my top 10. Because I love the Court of Owls story. But... The recent stuff just doesn't feel like they're as risky as the earlier stuff.
It's almost like they have a chalkboard in the hallway of a formula that they're going to do every single film.
Very much so, Frank. The earlier films seem to take a little more risk and be a little more fan service than the newer films, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Frank, if you don't exactly have a top five, but pick one of your favorites.
Well, it's so hard to like say which one I should go with number five. I like Son of Batman. I finally got around to watching that and really enjoyed it. You know, so I mean, any of these numbers could switch up. I would have to go back and rewatch them to see like how much I like more than the other. You two probably watch these more than I do, more than once. You know how I am, one and done with most things.
Yeah, I enjoyed Son of Batman too. But again, it's part of the newer ones, and I think it started the cookie cutter formula, mm-hmm. you know. But it's a good film.
I just like the whole dynamic. I like the whole like, oh, I have a son.
Yeah, I like
tight bad talent, you know. Thing.
Well, at number four, I have Green Lantern: First Flight, one of the earlier films, but I still like it. I think it's a great Green Lantern story. Mm-hmm. This may not be on my list. This may be one of the best ones, but it's a personal favorite. I really like the way First Flight was done. It's kind of the Green Lantern movie we wish we would have gotten with Ryan Reynolds. And maybe that's why I like it. I think First Flight tells the... And it takes some liberties, too.
Is this the one where it goes back in time and he keeps, you know, it keeps focusing on his experiences?
No, that's Emerald Knights.
Okay.
With the different stories.
Gotcha.
No, this is an actual origin of Green Lantern story, First Flight. And I just really enjoy it. It's a personal favorite in my top five.
Gotcha. I know you said they dropped the bomb, but I really like Justice League War. I like that Batman and Green Lantern, you know, Batman kind of coaching.
It's
Green
funny
Lantern.
You keep pick. It's, I just have to stop. It's yeah. funny you keep picking these movies on the best scenes of the movie. One little scene makes Matt's favorite movie. Well, that's the best scene of Justice League War. Is well, Batman
maybe
and Green
Matt's
Lantern.
Ultimate movie would be all the best scenes.
Well, it's kind of like saying a little Whataburger goes the whole way. You know, it's a long way. I don't know, but
no, that's Taco Bell goes a long way.
You get a little Batman versus Superman in here. A little bit. A little bit. And then
War's not terrible.
Shazam,
it's just not.
I liked that they kind of tried to, you know, introduce a storyline to Cyborg, and you kind of got his background as a football player.
I mean, I liked War.
I remember what my number seven was going to be if I had done top.
Which
it would have been Throne of Atlantis. Out of all the new, out of all the new ones,
yeah,
the new 52 ones, Throne of Atlantis I've liked the most. That one was awesome.
But I really did like War, and I like how they did Apocalypse.
Dark Side.
Sorry. Other super...
His planet's called Apocalypse.
Yeah, his planet is Apocalypse. And Batman having to sneak in, and he has to take on those demons in the other world, and I think it kind of plays to that, you know, aura that Batman can beat anybody, and he can kind of take on any foe.
Okay, I
think so, because Batman uses more of his head than he does just his brawn, whereas a lot of these other guys kind of rush in with just their powers.
Yep.
You know.
Hey, Mr. Non-Top Fiver over here, what would be one of your next favorites?
I would have to go with probably, same with Matt, but at the same time, Batman versus Robin. I still like the dynamic of Batman and Robin, because, I'm sorry, when I think Batman, I think Robin. You know, so things that have Robin in there with Batman, just the dynamic of, I mean, yeah, Batman's cool on his own, but when he has, like, a sidekick.
It's like bacon and egg. You
yeah.
know? Egg's great, but it's better with bacon.
No. Bacon is always great. You don't need nothing with bacon.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So bacon is your Batman.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
The egg is just there as a little extra filler, but, you know, just. You know,
it does.
All you need is just bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Hey, on that note. I'll go to my number three. I have Superman vs. the Elite. I think this is one that a lot of people haven't seen. It was kind of like people were like, oh, look, but man, it is, I'm telling people, for a Superman story, Superman vs. Elite will have you drop your jaw a few times. It's been a while since I've seen it, Matt. Refresh my memory. Doesn't Superman kind of, a group comes in and they're killing because they think Superman's not handling things right.
Exactly.
They start killing bad guys and stuff. So Superman has to come in and he almost toys with the idea of joining them, doesn't he, if I remember right?
And for a little
or
bit.
Or being like them. He goes, maybe they're right. Maybe this is the way I need to be. But instead, Superman decides to take them on.
Mm-hmm.
And the results are one of the best action sequences you might see in any Superman film.
Yeah, he becomes a different person. Man.
Yeah, it's just Superman goes off like a badass motherfucker.
He does.
I'm telling you, people that think Superman's a Boy Scout, watch Superman vs. the Elite. He is just awesome in it. And I remember watching it and thinking, man, this is really cool. And it's funny, I don't own it out of all the DC animated films. I don't know why I don't have a copy of it, and I need to get one eventually.
Yeah,
it's just a really
makes those
cool
boys
film.
Piss their pants pretty much.
and they all look at him like, holy shit, what did we mess with? And that was one of my, if I had a top five, that was my number three. Matt?
For number three, you know, I'm going to mention a film Frank just mentioned, and that's Batman versus Robin. The Court of Owls. All three Crusaders teaming up, Damian and Nightwing and Batman. Batman, you know, and Robin in the beginning with the Toy Maker. I really like that sequence because, you know, Damian's kind of shows off how much of a rebel he is. And, you know, Damian has to learn a hard lesson in this, you know, in this series. And I'm glad everything worked out. And the undead people that Batman has to fight, he gets stabbed up. Because his non-lethal tactics don't work, and he starts using explosive batarangs and other cool stuff against him. And I really like the enemies in this movie.
I like Batman vs. Robin as an adaptation. My problem with Batman vs. Robin is the Court of Owls storyline in the comics is so in-depth, you almost needed a two-hour film to tell it better. And they shortened it up a little bit much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some more of the psychological stuff that's in the comics where the Court of Owls is messing with Batman's head. Wish they would have done more of that in it, you know? But it's still not a bad adaptation. But again, it's one of the newer films, which to me, I have some, you know, I want them to get back to doing. And it's funny, another one that was really good, like Justice League Gods and Monsters, where they took the, they're like Vampire Batman. It's kind of a different take on Justice League. Mm-hmm. I liked it because it was an original story, and I want them to see more stuff like that. And that's why I'm curious next summer about this Batman and Harley Quinn movie. It's an original story from Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, I believe, are both doing it. So I'm curious where they're going. You know, I like that stuff. The adaptions are fun, but sometimes you can only do much, so much in them, and I like to see the original stories. Any more on Batman vs. Robin? We'll move on to the Biscuit here.
Move on to the Biscuit.
The Biscuit, who doesn't make a top five because he's a bum.
So our number three?
Yeah.
I would say my number three, go back to when, like, you felt like a good animated, like, wasn't made just for little kids type movie.
Okay, that it was, you know, made for adults too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like
back when Frank got a boner watching heavy metal.
Woohoo!
That was only you, Mark.
Wishing you had heavy metal. Or Heavy Metal 2000?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Was Superman Doomsday.
Superman Doomsday.
You know, the feel like when, you know, Superman finally does bite the dust. And
did you cry?
No, but it was still kind of like, you know, you got, you know.
I really like Superman Doomsday. It's a good one. I've done so many good ones, it's hard to make just pick five. You know? But
I think we go on all day why we like certain parts of certain ones and don't like the certain parts of the same ones.
A top 10 would have been easier because you wouldn't feel too guilty leaving someone
Superman
out of your list.
Yeah. Superman Doomsday again.
I am leaving some out.
Superman Doomsday again suffers from being not enough time to flesh out the story, you know?
But I think but it's if still you read the comic book and good. Stuff, you already knew it for the most part. But if you were new to it, yeah, I can see what you're saying. If you went and just watched a cartoon versus knowing the comic books or what happened in the comic books. I don't think I read all of them because there was like, I'm going to say like the Batman Doomsday, but then all the Superman.
Oh, yeah, I've done a lot of them. Like,
wow.
Okay. Yeah. So Frank went old school there, just like I did with Superman vs. Elite. My number two, I'm surprised any one of y'all mentioned this because out of the straightforward adaptions, this has been my favorite, and it's The Dark Knight Returns. I thought it was a fantastic adaption. As much as I love Kevin Conroy, I thought Peter Weller was awesome as Batman. I thought he did a great job with the voice.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
He doesn't say that in the movie. the guy from Lost, I can't think of the actor's name, who
Matt
does
Fox?
The joke. No.
No.
The guy who does the Joker is Michael Emerson. Does the Joker in it. And he gives the Joker exactly the kind of voice I think the Joker should have in The Dark Knight Returns, an older, sinister, very creepy Joker. Hamill is kind of the crazy, fun, but yet I'll snap on you Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Emerson gave you that creepy Joker that, like, he'll be standing next to you and just reach out and shoot you in the head. Just that kind of really creepy Joker.
It's like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Pop.
And I thought the animation was good. They created their own animation for it, but yet they kind of paid tribute to Frank Miller's art with The Dark Knight Returns. And I just thought that was a fantastic adaption. And it was one where they didn't try to shorten it and make it into one film. They released it in two parts, but they also put it out in a deluxe edition with one part, and they were able to do it over 2 hours and make it a much better film than trying to shorten it up. And I'm a little shocked that neither one of y'all had that one in your top. You know, well, not that you are done yet.
So many.
But Dark Knight Returns is probably one of the top two or three easily. It's hard not to have that one in the list.
I want to say I might have not seen it. Because I know I was trying to see, you know, I know I saw Batman Year One, and I think that the Dark Knight Returns was right afterwards, right?
Around that time.
And I think I might have missed it because something else came out. I think that was whenever Red Hood came out.
Red Hood's been out a while.
It's been 2010, I think, is when Red Hood came out.
Well, so what's your number two?
I know you're going to roast me on it, but I really like, you know, I grew up watching Teen Titans. And I have to go with Teen Titans versus Justice
League. That
movie
sucked.
Hey, it's man, been it's the got Starfire.
It's been one of the worst ones they've released so far.
Not the worst.
Dude, the musical thing in the middle of it's terrible.
Like, there was a musical thing?
They're like, it's like this teenage DDR. Teen song. It's some... Damien, and then they're all playing in the amusement park. Like, yeah, let's have fun. It's bad.
It was Starfire's idea, but then it's got Trigon, man. Trigon takes over Superman. And Superman starts beat, you know, he's like anger bangs Wonder Woman. No, that doesn't happen. But, you know, he infects Wonder Woman.
My son likes it because it has Teen Titans in it. Yeah. But he's seven. He doesn't Teen understand Titans. That it's not a very well-written movie.
Oh, yeah?
It's well, really not.
Mikey's but, on my side. But
Matt's kind of seven.
It, man, I was really hoping it would be good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And I'm never watching it. It's only been out a couple months now.
Damien
I'm
just fights like, Ra's al Ghul.
It's so weak. You know, it's the fight sequences are fine. I have a problem with the fight sequences in DC animated films.
Yeah.
But you keep going to the fight scenes in these movies. Yeah. Yeah, they have cool fight scenes, but the story is just, it's bad, man.
Wonder Woman's dating Superman? Don't you wonder what's going on?
That's just part of the new 52. Everybody knows about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, oh man, Justice League Titans just was, it was weak. It was probably the weakest.
I have it on my Vudu account. Man, I bought it.
Well, I have it too because I bought it for Mike. I buy all of them, but
yeah.
But if out of there are 26 films, that would be like 23, 24 down there in the bottom for me.
Really?
Yeah, I just think it wasn't that great. You know, it's not as bad. What is the worst DC animated film? Now that I think about it.
A long pause.
It's hard to think. They've had so many.
Is that the one where Batgirl asks Batman for a ride and he gets the wrong idea?
No.
Oh, that was a different.
I'd have to sit and think what the worst is, but anyway, Frank, you're number two of your not top five lists that you didn't make.
Flashpoint. I really liked it. Flashpoint's
good.
I enjoyed it. It might be one of those. You know me. Like I said, I'm a one and done kind of person. I might actually go back and watch that again. And I'm kind of excited that they're not going to be able to fully do it on a drawn-out scale like they can in a comic book or animated, mm-hmm. but the new Flash season is kind of doing a Flashpoint storyline.
Yeah.
So that excites me. I mean, like I said, you're not going to be able to have all the different heroes and different things.
Don't get too excited over there.
But no, I just think it's really cool that they're taking, you know, a fan favorite and actually diving into it.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see Thomas Wayne wielding dual pistols as Batman.
Yeah, but that would be cool.
That would be cool.
If they could get the rights to use the Batman. Which is funny because you would think they would have the rights to everything. Apparently, they're going to have Superman and Supergirl new season because they've already shown the picture of whoever's playing the role of him in the outfit. Mm-hmm. So why can't they do a TV Batman? I mean, they felt free to do a different Flash character for the new Justice League movie. You know, Mark.
So let me. I'm going to go on a limb here since we're at number one. Mm-hmm. Did all three of us pick the red under the red hood?
No, nope. I picked it.
Not you.
I liked it, but I didn't pick it.
I picked under the red hood.
Since you're already running your mouth about Flashpoint, what's your number one if you had to pick overall?
Honestly, Wonder Woman. The Wonder Woman movie. Like, I watched it.
I think I've only seen that one time.
Like, just the amount of sure action and violence in it. I'm like, I would not let a 7-year-old little one up to maybe 11-year-old. My kid would have to be like, if I had a kid, would have to be 12 or older. And I mean like a mature 12.
Well, most of them are PG-13. The anime films.
Yeah, but they still feel like they're not that bad that you can't let an 8-year-old and up watch it.
Now, refresh my
I don't remember
memory.
It being that violent.
No, it's violent. People are getting killed. Like, Amazon chicks are getting killed.
Is this the one where they kind of take her from Themyscira? And
that's
she
like
has
a
to,
war.
Yeah, and she has to fight the other Amazons that she pretty much banished.
That's the only Wonder Woman film that's out as far as anime.
I mean, like,
I'm just making sure.
Like, people get killed in this. It's not like G.I. Joe where somebody jumps out of the damn helicopter and a parachute pops out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were getting killed. You know, it's not just like, one bad guy and a car explodes, but somebody saves him out of the car and Batman.
Have you seen Throne of Atlantis?
Yeah. You know, but yeah, that's how I'm saying
Throne of Atlantis is much more violent.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And actually, the most violent one is probably Assault on Arkham. That one's pretty.
What about, it's not Flashpoint Paradox, and she like kills all those kids that...
No, but what I'm saying is, look how old it is, and it's like the stepping up of, like, not being just a following that guideline of like, okay, we can have some action and some violence, but we're not going to show people get killed. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll crash through a building, people will run and scream, cars will blow up, but you're not going to actually see somebody take a bullet scenario.
Well, I found funny about Assault on Arkham is you see Harley Quinn's backside on it because she gets it on with one of the character Flag or something like that in it, but yet it doesn't get rated R. But yeah, Killing Joke got an R rating.
I didn't see why it got an R rating.
And well, Dark Knight Returns was very violent, and it didn't even get an R rating. I mean, mm-hmm. where the Joker's going through the amusement park at the end and he's shooting everybody, the Dark Knight Returns, and that didn't get an R rating.
Man, they didn't show anything. There wasn't no so, violence. Language.
Well, it's the seriousness of the fact that he shoots Barbara Gordon. It implies that they sexually assault her. The darkness of what they do to Jim Gordon. You know, I think that's. You know,
I think it was Jim Gordon being naked and those little ugly little things being in.
So me and Matt, we picked Under the Red Hood number one. That is my favorite. I kept thinking, man, did I have another one's favorite? Because I like a lot of them, but Under the Red Hood really is the best DC animated film. It's just really. It's my favorite. It's really well done. It's an excellent adaptation of the Under the Red Hood stories from the comics, where mm-hmm. Jason Todd comes back after being believed dead at the hands of the Joker. Mm-hmm. But Ra's al Ghul, I guess,
throws him in the Lazarus pit,
essentially, and saved him. And he comes back, wants revenge on Batman because he thinks Batman betrayed him. And most people have seen Under the Red Hood now. And you have any thoughts on it, Matt, as far as why it's your favorite?
I like Joe DiMaggio as the Joker. It was different. Kind of raspier voiced Joker. A little deeper voiced. And he had a different sense of humor. You know, he shoots all the guys in the room. He's like, he was in the room with the black hood, the black mask. And, you know, he's like, I need some guys. He's like, not these guys, because they're kind of dead. And he took the gun, he shot them all. He's like, yeah, these guys are dead. I need some other guys. Now, I liked his humor. And then whenever the Red Hood, you know, essentially forces the release of the Joker so he could rearrange the meeting. And he starts beating the Joker with the crowbar and... He's like, ooh, let's all get a picture together. Let's do one with me and you, and one with the boy, and then one with me and the crowbar.
Well, I always liked Under the Red Hood, too, because one of my favorite Batman stories when I was younger, maybe not favorite, one of the stories that left a memory on me was the Death in the Family storyline where Joker kills Robin. Because mm-hmm. I was maybe 14 when it came out, 15, and it was one of those films that, or one of those books, I mean, that got me into Batman. And so I was always cool when they brought Jason Todd back, and now they took this animated version. They did a story adaption of it all, and I thought it was really cool that they did that. So that's why I really enjoyed Under the Red Hood, because it kind of brought some memories of Batman and my childhood together to this modern story. And I read the Under the Red Hood comics, too, when they brought Jason Todd back, and they were all well done. And so Under the Red Hood. Any other thoughts on DC animated films? What are some other just honorable mentions? I really like Year One. Thought Year One was great. Mm-hmm. What else? Throne of Atlantis.
Yeah. I like the Supergirl one.
She's been in a couple of them. They had Superman Apocalypse. She was in, but she was also in Superman Unbound. Superman Unbound was really good.
Yeah. Both of them.
Speaking of probably worst, I'd probably put All-Star Superman as my worst. I just wasn't a big fan of that one.
Yeah, I mean, it had some good parts.
Yeah.
Where Lex Luthor is essentially Superman for a day.
Yeah.
And he...
And Superman's dying or whatever. Yeah.
He forces him, he causes him to get cancer.
Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths, or Crisis on Two Earths, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. It's one of the older ones. Justice League Doom, I really liked that one. That was good.
That's a good one.
You know, that was an enjoyable film. Bless you in the background, Mikey. And so DC, and next year they announced, and this is perfect segue into our Comic-Con coverage here a little bit, is they announced three films for next year. I guess they're going to start them in the fall, because they're saying Justice League Dark is going to come out this fall, and it's going to have Constantine in it. Ooh. Swamp Thing. It's going to be the darker Justice League characters. I'm kind of looking forward to that one. Yeah. I guess Batman's going to appear in it too, because you got to have Batman appear in it so you can sell some copies.
Exactly.
You know? And I'm kind of looking forward to that one. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Then they announced Teen Titans, The Judas Contract, which is interesting because that was written in the 80s by George Perez and Marv Wolfman. Mm-hmm. But it's supposed to take place in the continuity of this New 52 continuity of DC animated films. So I guess we're going to rework the story from the 80s and put it into the new continuity. Because as far as I know, it's not its own... it could be. Maybe they're going to announce that it's its own story. Because in the new 52, or in the original, sorry, in the original Teen Titans Judas contract, it's the story of where Robin becomes Nightwing. That's what the story is in the comics. So it's kind of important. So maybe they are doing a straightforward adaption. That would be kind of cool, though, to see an 80s style kind of adaption of the Teen Titans Judas contract. And then the third film they announced was Batman and Harley Quinn, which is supposed to be an original story from Paul Dini and Bruce Timm. So those are the next three DC animated films we've got coming. And it looks like they're going to keep coming because the Killing Joke made a killing. Ha! Huh? See what I did there? Of like almost $4 million in his two... Really, Frank? Yeah. Really? No. You sound like a goat being masturbated or something.
Man, I would know what that sounds like.
It made almost $4 million in its two nights of screening, so it did very well. It probably almost made its budget back. I can't imagine these DC animated films have a budget of more than $2-2.5 million, you would think. Because, you know, some of these animated cartoons cost $500,000 to make an episode. So imagine an animated film like that's probably... You know, 2.5, 3 million.
Yeah, and it wasn't made like, you know, by Pixar or that where they have to dump them, you know, 100 million into it.
So we got three more coming next year. And along with that, what else happened at Comic-Con? Oh, a few trailers, I guess.
Just a few.
We're going to start with Marvel. They released a new Doctor Strange trailer. Since we'll shift gears here, we'll come back to DC in a minute. Much better than the first Doctor Strange trailer.
Yes.
I'm very much looking forward to the film now. Not that I was never going to not go see it, but the first trailer didn't sell me. This trailer was pretty cool.
You got more of the magic, more of what, you know, his powers could be to someone that is unfamiliar with Doctor Strange.
Yeah. And what I love the scene where he's walking and he, like, makes his cape go on him. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't you wish you could walk through the house and just get dressed by making your clothes fly on you? Frank's over going, no, I'd rather stay naked. Don't scare
me. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking. And, but, you know, we have public nudity laws. Respect other people.
So did Marvel do anything else at Comic-Con other than release some art from Homecoming Spider-Man?
And then say that, you know...
I think it was pretty much the year of DC.
Yeah. Well, they announced Infinity War was just going to be called Avengers Infinity War after Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Well, they did release a trailer for Luke Cage and a teaser for Iron Fist and the Defenders, but even those weren't
that strong.
And, you know, that's why I think DC kind of won Comic-Con this year.
Yeah.
By Warner Brothers in general. They released a trailer for Kong Skull Island, which looks really cool. It's going to take place in the same universe as Godzilla. And then Warner Brothers also released the Lego Batman movie trailer, which was really cool also. And a Lego Batman movie is going to be a lot of fun, just as the Lego movie was. But then DC released new trailers for all their television shows. We already talked a little bit about, Frank talked a little bit about Justice League Flashpoint, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. And let's get to the big ones. They released some footage for the Justice League. And they released a trailer for Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman, the trailer released at Comic-Con is a little bit longer than apparently the ones playing in theaters. But that makes sense because the trailer was almost 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they scaled it down a little bit for movie theaters. So we got a trailer for those two. And first thoughts on the Justice League and Wonder Woman trailers.
I like the new direction that they went in with the Justice League and how...
Explain new direction, because they added a little humor in it.
They added a little humor, and I really liked it. I don't think, you know, I don't know if anyone said it yet, but I don't think that they're following a Marvel blueprint. You know, you shouldn't call it a Marvel blueprint just because you added a little comedy, you know, in an action, you know, type film. You know, it's like, I mean, that's been done. But I think it did need something a little lighter. To keep it from being, you know, so dark. And at first I didn't think it would have, you know, that the movie was, you know, would have been much more with the humor at first, you know, Batman versus Superman, you know what I mean? But now that I see a little humor added into the movie, I'm like, man, if they would have just had a little smile cracking in Batman versus Superman, I think it would have, you know, had the same film or same kind of feel as this trailer had.
Mm-hmm. But I think because the Batman v Superman takes place right after everything kind of went down to a degree.
Yeah,
it was a little bit more darker
point in the universe.
Yeah, it was still darker, now he's had time to contemplate, like, okay, so Superman wasn't bad. Now I need help from these other guys. He can't just walk up to him and go, I'm Batman. Bad people are coming. Join me. You know, you can't just approach people like that. You know, so
I like the little,
it won't work.
The banter, you know, with the Flash and Aquaman.
But yeah, no, I really liked it. I liked that you actually got to see the characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the look of the characters are really good. You know, the especially, you know, the guy playing Aquaman, you know, Cyborg, they all look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't cheesy looking.
And the cubes, they showed the cubes being buried by ancient Indians or something like that.
So what do you think about Ezra Miller's Barry Allen in the short? The main sequence in the trailer is a little short sequence where Bruce Wayne's in Barry Allen's apartment or house or whatever,
underground lair.
And he's like, and he comes in, and he's like, "Well, why are you sitting in my chair like you know me or something?" And you see him throw the batarang. Everyone's seen it by now, and he slows down time, and he catches it. You know. He makes a funny line, I need friends. And it's funny because watching The Flash the last 2 years, we've all gotten very used to Grant Gustin as Flash,
mm-hmm.
and we really like him. But I really think Ezra Miller did a good job in just that 1 minute of selling me as Barry Allen. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, this guy is good, you know? And I was worried about that. How would I feel about someone else playing The Flash? But I thought he did a good job. Is that how you kind of felt too?
I liked it. I think he was, you know, kind of witty.
He gets like that wittiness, that quirkiness of Barry Allen.
Here's my thing when it comes to the movies, in a sense that whether it's we're used to the DC, I just take them as being a different realm. Like a lot of these comic books take place in different realms of the same universe, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Different artists, so the characters will have different looks with a different artist. So somebody else playing the part and all that, and being a little bit different, is no different than an artist or a writer.
You didn't answer the fucking question. The question was, what did you think about Ezra Miller as Barry Allen?
No, what I'm saying is like, I liked him.
Yeah, you know, we already know it's in a different universe.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, it's somebody else playing him playing the part, and all that didn't bother me because I was used to it. You know, I mean, it was a small scene, so we'll see how he.
I mean, Warner Brothers has already made that very clear that. It's a different universe. Apparently, mm-hmm. they don't even acknowledge their television shows very much.
But I like that. I like that these are separate. That you're not going to have bleeding into each other.
Well, there's been rumors this week that the Flash is going to appear in Suicide Squad. There's been rumors of that.
Hmm.
Because the whole idea is the Flash is going to be the one that ties everything together when it all comes down to it. You know. So we'll see.
Eh, I ain't too interested in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, you'll still see it.
Maybe.
You're
going to
see it from Margot Robbie.
That's the reason why I don't want to see it.
What?
I'm so sick of Harley Quinn. I really am.
Get out of here.
I am.
I'm telling you.
Like, yeah. I'm sick of Harley Quinn.
Can we get Margot Robbie on the show and trade him in?
There we go.
No, or it's just Margot Robbie's like, butt. She's just become one of those overdone characters. Like, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of cosplay on my Facebook.
Yeah, there's so many Harley Quinn movies.
And everybody does a Harley Quinn.
It's just popular right now. It's no different than
saturation.
It's no different than Deadpool over the last 3 or 4 years.
But it's not original anymore. So when you have one cosplayer doing it, she's not original.
And Deadpool is original, but yet the movie made $300 million?
Yeah.
Well, explain that to me. I'm not saying that the movie ain't going to do well. Yeah. It's just it's an over-saturated.
It didn't keep you from going to see Deadpool twice, for that matter.
Star Wars and all those Star Wars
because you two wanted to see it.
You were still going and seen it.
So
I don't see what the difference is in not going to see Suicide Squad. We're calling you out today. Since you didn't come with your top five,
you get called out today.
Since you didn't come with your top five, you get called out today.
I don't see the woman wanting to
go see it. Yeah. So the Justice League trailer is pretty cool. Obviously, we'll get more later. I don't know. We may not even get another Justice League trailer till the springtime. You know, we'll see. It comes out next November. The Wonder Woman trailer. This was a movie that I think a lot of people were wondering what it's going to look like.
Wondering about Wonder Woman.
You know, mm-hmm. a first big female superhero film. But I have to say, it was really cool. I mean,
I liked it.
Yeah,
it
was. I was like, wow, this is a cool trailer. I love where she's taking the shield and the bullets are blasting off of her and everything.
Yeah, running into a crowd of gunmen.
Yeah, it was the action. I do feel that the DC universe, I don't want every movie to look like a Zack Snyder film. And I know he's directed the first two in the universe so far. Suicide Squad at least does look different than a Zack Snyder film. But I did feel the Wonder Woman trailer, even with the female director, like some of the scenes look like Zack Snyder action scenes.
Or maybe he helped her.
And the Marvel Universe sometimes looks the same too. So I guess it's okay. I don't know what I'm saying here. I just, you know, I would hope the directors are able to bring their own styles to the movies, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, then they might walk into the chalkboard of, you have to draw this for
And me. I do like that at the end of the Wonder Woman trailer that they did use the musical theme from Batman vs. Superman. I thought that was cool because that theme just seemed to fit her when she appears in Batman vs. Superman.
I was disappointed they didn't use, you know, the 1970s Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
And actually, I think there's a trailer online where someone dubbed the music over it.
That's awesome. You know,
yeah.
I would love for somewhere like when this gets released, that somebody just asked her to spin around at least once in the outfit. And they could just, like, put her with her regular clothes on and that, and they could just, you know, mash them together. That would have been awesome. And, or just a scene where she spins around for no apparent reason whatsoever in the movie.
Crazy.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Oh, no, Linda Carter throwback.
Oh, yeah. Sexy Wonder Woman.
And again, like Matt said, they're trying to help maybe change the tone of some of these films a little bit. They add a little humor at the end of the trailer where he's like, what's a secretary? And he's like, well, she does everything for me, gets coffee, whatever. And she's like, well, where I come from, that's called slavery.
That's called a slave.
You know, that was pretty funny. So add a little humor to it. So Wonder Woman, that comes out next June after Suicide Squad. That's DC's next big film, is next summer.
And, I know, it's far away.
Yeah.
I mean, for a film that feels like it's almost done, feels like it should have like a late year release. I guess probably because of Star Wars, they didn't want to throw it out there.
Well, they're still filming, so I don't think it's. I don't know if they're still filming Wonder Woman or not, so they did start filming Justice League already. It's hard to say. You know, but maybe that's just they have their plan, you know. They also have to work around all these Marvel films coming out, things like that, you know. Because after Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yep.
Which we didn't get any footage from that. But James Gunn said the reason they didn't release the footage to the public is it's just simply not ready. He goes, man, that's for Comic-Con audiences. He goes, we don't want to show anybody something that's not complete. He said, well, you're not missing anything. You know, James Gunn's been very good about talking to the audience. He goes, don't feel like we're ripping you off because we didn't release any Guardians footage.
But let's be honest. They didn't release any Guardians footage because if it's not ready, the fanboys would just shred it to pieces.
Right, so it wasn't worth it. So, do y'all feel DC won Comic-Con over Marvel this year?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, no one expected Justice League footage. I think that was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Because the film's only been they've only been filming maybe 6 weeks, and for it to be done and have that much footage ready, I think people were surprised.
Well, you know, I was busy.
Especially completed film scenes, like where Aquaman's in the water and the water's around him. That's quite a big special effects scene. And to have something like that done already and to put it in there, you know, that was still a bit surprising. You know?
Well, like I said, I was over at the family's house, so I didn't really get time to catch any of Comic-Con. You shot out a text to us that it was up and available, so I immediately jumped on there and checked it out. Like, my cousin just watched the night before, Batman v Superman the night before. He's like, oh, I'm just going to watch 30 minutes to see if it's any good. And he sat there and watched the whole damn thing. You know?
Theatrical version?
The theatrical version, yeah. Okay. So I wind up watching the whole thing. I kind of like fell asleep because I've been up like since 5 o'clock in that morning. But then, showed him the trailer. He thought it was pretty cool, too.
We've all three seen the uncut version by now, right?
Mm-hmm. I fell asleep during the uncut version, so I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Matt. What? I don't, what are we going to do with him?
Doesn't
come with his top five.
I think we can trade him in for a cheeseburger.
No, Matt, Margot Robbie.
Matt. Yeah. Matt. Shut up. You ain't seen those Star Trek movies.
That's okay. He's young. that I can be forgiven. So the last big trailer at Comic-Con that we talk about that pertains to our show and things we talk about is The Walking Dead Season 7. Well, let's talk about that a little bit before we close out this episode. Obviously, they didn't show us anything. I mean, they showed us a lot of people walking around. We got the big reveal that Ezekiel is in it from the comics. Very popular character and his tiger. People were wondering whether they were going to bring that to the show. We don't find out who Negan killed. We find out who he didn't kill, maybe two characters. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously we know he didn't kill Rick.
Which should be the one he kills.
You know.
Common sense world.
Well, if that goes back to the old thing that every time the villain has James Bond captured, he never kills him. That's just the way cinema is. Yeah. You know, it's just the way cinema is.
Hey, you want Dr. Evil. You want to set an example to everybody else. You take out the head dude and say,
but then you
now
don't have,
I'm your boss.
But then you don't have franchises to make millions of dollars and people watch them.
Exactly. So, that's where I'm sorry, when common sense gets thrown out of the window, that's where it loses.
That's why they're called movies or escapism.
Yeah. Frank.
I don't want to go to the movies for the real world.
Non-list, non-Margot
I guess that's
Robbie.
Why you've always been a big fan of Face Off. But anyway, we move on.
Again, it's a movie. You just enjoy it for what it is.
Yes. Matt, switch faces with me, and we'll keep the same bodies.
No.
You know what? You really want to have it out about Face Off? It's not a bad film.
It's horrible.
No, it's not even close to horrible. Yeah. How is it even horrible? Because their faces don't match, that doesn't make the film horrible. It's no horrible than a Doctor Who or some shit you watch.
Yeah, Doctor Who.
I don't get Doctor Who. Doctor Who's just not that good.
Yeah, okay.
It's not.
And we just lost three-fourths of our listeners.
No, we didn't.
Nope.
I'll tell people I don't like Doctor Who.
I ain't going to listen to us anymore.
I mean,
I'm not going to listen to us.
I watched the first season and I was like, this is all right. You know, I just never got the appeal of it. Really, Matt? Putting pants on a water bottle?
Yep.
Little action figure pants?
And we move on.
So anyway. Again, they didn't show anything much about The Walking Dead, but Everyone's looking forward to October 23rd to see who he killed. You know, this whole summer of waiting. As they're pissing fans off, now they're making everybody wait. I still think they're going to stick with the comics. I think it's going to be Glenn.
Yep.
There's been some talk that he kills two people, that they go different in the comics, and he goes all out and kills two. Because there's been a lot of rumors online, and this is spoiler territory, that the guy who plays Glenn, Steven Yeun, and I don't know the guy's name, played Abraham, that neither one of them are on set at all. So there's been talks that both of them have been killed. And apparently, I read somewhere that people saw the guy who plays Abraham at some event, and he no longer has the military haircut, that he grew his hair back out. So we'll see. You know,
did he lose the stash?
I don't know about that.
Probably.
But. And everyone knows in the comics, Abraham's already dead. He was the one who took the arrow through the eye instead of the girl. So maybe they are moving on from Abraham.
As long as it's not Rosalita or Maggie, I'm okay. Lauren Cohan.
Yeah. She could play as Rosita, is that how you say it?
Rosalita.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had her on The Talking Dead one night, and I'm like... Yeah. So, dude, we can replace him with her or Margot Robbie. Either one.
Definitely. I would let you replace me as long as I can just sit over here while y'all record.
No, you wouldn't be allowed to be here.
Oh, that's great.
You're like, done. We're replacing you with this hot chick.
Yeah, like in y'all's wet dreams.
While
y'all are holding each other.
So, a big year for Comic-Con again. Exciting year. A lot of big news. Every year, something cool comes out of it. I think the coolest moment this year was the Justice League trailer because no one expected it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, you know. DC Anime Films, Batman the Killing Joke. Check it out. Comes out on Blu-ray this week. DVD, digital on demand, whatever you prefer. The palm of your hand. I don't know.
The palm of your hand?
Yeah. And
That's Matt's version of the Killing
Joke. We enjoyed seeing the Killing Joke in theaters. We hope you enjoy listening to this episode of Rebel Radio. We talked about our favorite DC animated films and talked about the Killing Joke. And make sure you go to TrustMeMaJedi.com so you can follow us. Check out my new show at DuelOfTheNerds.com. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter. We've been doing a lot more Twitter lately. We do update the Facebook, too, obviously. But and I know I haven't updated the website as much lately. It's that I kind of always take a break in the summer, but doing some stuff again. And August is going to be 80s month. That's my plan. So on our We Got You Cover, the weekly comic book cover, it's going to be 80s comics this week, some of our favorite 80s comics. I'm hoping to bring back Retroplex Cinema, which is a popular feature on the website where we talk about old films. And some 80s films, I think, for Retroplex Cinema. Try to get a couple of those out this month. And I always say try because, you know, this is a hobby. real life happens.
Mm-hmm. It's called kids.
So this has been another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. And this has been...
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Biscuit T. Frank.
And he just had to mess up his name at the end.
Yeah,
of course, because you pointed it out at the beginning.
And this is your host, Mark. Thanks for listening, and I hope that Frank's coworker didn't think I talked too much today. But if I did, oh well.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And I, your host, Matt, will be taking over next week.
Right. Yeah.
As Matt the Electric Monkey, and we will talk about waffles.
With syrup.
With syrup.
The end.
The end.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.
This is Walter Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.